knows where.
Oh my God, I adore, I hope, and I love thee, and I beg pardon for those who do not believe, do not adore, do not hope, and do not love thee. Of course, that's a beautiful prayer that the Angel of Peace, the Angel of Portugal, and of course St. Michael, one of his titles was Angel of Peace, told or taught the children, the three young children, the seers of Fatima, Lucia, Jacinta and Francisco in 1917, 1 year before Our Lady appeared. Beautiful prayer. I'll say it again. Oh my God, I believe, I adore, I hope and I love thee, and I beg pardon for those who do not believe, do not adore, do not hope and do not love thee. Welcome to Alive. This is Claire and thank you once again for joining me. Humble apologies. Things have been very, very busy at the moment. My mother has been very, very sick in hospital for most of the last 11 weeks. And she's actually in hospital at the very moment. And as soon as I have finished the program, I will be going straight back and visiting her. So that's all, you know, very, very difficult. But I guess, you know, when you've got a family, this happens. To all ages, whether you're very young or older person, we spend time in hospital. Now, some of you may know that I am part of the organisers of the Pro-Life Rosary Crusade, which is going to be on the 8th of December at 3 p.m. all over the country. Now, the people who began this Rosary Crusade started the planning back in February. They were a little bit worried about the bill, the End of Life Choices Bill, which had its first reading last December. And then they heard that Mr. Little had been instructed, or he told the Law Commission, I should say, he instructed them to updating the abortion laws. Now, of course, that just simply means how to make it easier to have abortions, and with the End of Life Choices Bill, of course, that is how to legalise euthanasia. Now, both of these bills, let's not beat around the bush, they are anti-life bills because they do not respect the dignity of the human person from conception to natural death. And that's what we should be doing. These are laws that we do not want in this country. And it's a very, very slippery slope because, as other countries have found, that right to end your life through euthanasia very, very quickly becomes an obligation, and we certainly don't want that. Now, the Law Commission reported back a couple of weeks ago and they had three recommendations because people have been saying it shouldn't be in the Crimes Act. Abortion should be taken out and made a health issue. And the three recommendations did say that. That was one of the things they were quite clear on. But of course, if you take something out of the Crimes Act, what the government is actually saying, that they will, if they adopt these laws or these recommendations, that they are actually sanctioning or condoning killing. And killing of the most vulnerable, the unborn child in its mother's womb. And you can't be more vulnerable than that. So one of the recommendations also said to take off the time limits, which essentially means that could turn out to be abortion right up to 9 months. Now, of course, people are not saying that, but that really is open for interpretation. And my understanding, if you take the time limits off, you take the time limits off. So there are things about these three recommendations that this country does not want or need. So these three people got together in February and they decided to follow on the example last October, quickly followed by Ireland and a few other countries were in the planning to have a rosary crusade. Because Our Lady has given us a weapon to fight evil. And this is certainly, these laws are evil. And the weapon that she has given us, of course, is the most powerful weapon we would ever need, and that's the rosary. So spent a long time in the planning. They were online, this lay group of Catholics. They did have their website up and running, a beautiful website, up and running in July, but they realised that Bishop Pat was the patron of Rosary Aotearoa, which was to coincide with the Holy League's organised US crusade, which was going to be on the Feast of the Holy Rosary, October the 7th. So New Zealand did join in with that, and so our group went quiet. We just thought, okay, well, we're not going to take the website down. And then put it up again, so we just left it. And then it was decided to start again on October the 8th. So not a lot of lead-up. That's really only a few weeks ago. But already there are probably about 40 groups throughout New Zealand who have organised themselves into a Rosary Crusade group. Now, if you want to see more, please go to our absolutely stunningly beautiful website. It's www.rosarycrusade.co.nz. I'll say it again, www.rosarycrusade.co.nz. Now, it was designed by the very, very talented website designer Dan Lim from Christchurch, and he was one of the three original people. When he was asked, Dan, would you like to be in this? He immediately put his hand up and made himself available. And it really is stunning. Even if you don't want to join the crusade, it's worth to have a look. It is totally beautiful. And we are getting comments every other day from people about how magnificent the website is. It really, really is a credit to Dan. The only thing we said to him, Dan, we just want you to make it utterly beautiful, as befits Our Lady, Queen of Heaven, and he certainly didn't disappoint. It's absolutely beautiful. Now, the crusade actually coincides with the March for Life, which is held on December the 8th, the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, and it's going to be down in Wellington, and all of the pro-life groups in New Zealand have combined together, and they are going to march as one. And I think it leaves at 2 o'clock from Civic Square, and it will end in Parliament Grounds. So Civic Square is 101 Wakefield Street, Wellington Central. Now, I'm actually going to be there, even though I'm one of the organisers of the crusade, because we are actually encouraging everyone who can, please go to Wellington and make your voices count. However, those who can't go to Wellington, please join in groups all around your country, in your parish church or other holy places, and say the Rosary Crusade prayers. Now, these prayers consist of an opening and closing prayer, the national anthem at the beginning, and How Great Thou Art in the end. And in the middle will be the mystery, the Rosary Mystery for Saturday, which is the Joyful Mystery. So that basically is the prayer. People are logging in all over the country. We've had fantastic feedback. It's quite humbling. I'm sending out official rosary packs to all the leaders. Yesterday I sent out 6. I've already sent out 2 today by lunchtime. There will be more tonight. So people are signing up the whole time. So I'll just read a little bit from the flyer for the March for Life. It says there are more than 500,000 very good reasons to march for life in Wellington, because more than 500,000 pre-born children have been aborted in New Zealand. So 500,000 Kiwis, New Zealand children, have been aborted. I mean, that is shameful. So countless Women and families carry the hurt and the wounds of abortion. We know and we can do better than this. So the march for a New Zealand where the beauty and dignity of every human life is valued and protected from conception. So the aims of the march are to celebrate life, remember these 500,000 preborn babies, to increase public awareness about abortion and its impact on women, families and society, and also to bring all New Zealanders of goodwill together, united in the one common vision of making abortion unthinkable. It's also a very family-friendly event. So who should come along? Well, families, children, health professionals, clergy, religious communities, politicians, and all people of goodwill. So the march, as I said, is on Saturday, December the 8th, and it starts at 2 p.m. at Civic Square, 101 Wakefield Street, Wellington Central. And we will be praying the rosary at the end of the march at 4 o'clock. So if you're a Catholic or even a non-Catholic and you want to pray together, we'll be praying the rosary at 4 o'clock. So every human life is precious, and please join this combined pro-life march. Be a voice for the voiceless and let New Zealand know that we love them both mother and baby. Now, in the prayers, the opening and closing prayers for the Rosary Crusade, which will be prayed all around the country, we have used St. Pope John Paul II's Daily Prayer for Life. And this is a wonderful prayer. Family Life International prays it every day when they pray the Rosary in their chapel. So I'll read it to you, and we've just added a couple of words just to tie it in together. So we're doing prayer at the beginning and half of the prayer at the end. O Mary, bright dawn of the new world, Mother of the living, to you do we entrust the cause of life. Look down, O Mother, upon the vast numbers of babies not allowed to be born, of the poor whose lives are made difficult, of men and women who are victims of brutal violence, of the elderly and the sick, killed by indifference or out of misguided mercy. Grant that all who believe in your Son may proclaim the gospel of life with honesty and love to the people of our time. So that's the prayer that will be said at the beginning, and at the end we just begin with again, O Mary, obtain for them the grace to accept the gospel as a gift ever new, the joy of celebrating it with gratitude throughout their lives, and the courage to bear witness to it resolutely in order to build, together with all people of goodwill, the civilization of truth and love, to the praise and glory of God, the creator and lover of life. Amen. So we couldn't think of a more beautiful prayer to pray than this wonderful prayer composed by St. Pope John Paul II. And he certainly demonstrated by his life that he loved all people, all ages. He certainly was a witness at the end of his life to his heroic devotion to the papacy. And he had Parkinson's, and it was very debilitating. And there were a lot of people around him who advised him to resign, but that wasn't his way. He had been elected Pope, and he would be a Pope for life. And he was such a witness to the whole world. And his funeral was attended by just about every monarch and leader of every country in the world. He certainly was a very, very great man. So, okay, it's nearly 3 o'clock. It's time for Divine Mercy. Now, this is a wonderful prayer to pray if you are in the presence of someone who is dying. It has many special graces that our Lord gave this special prayer to Saint Faustina, and she wrote it down in her diaries. So you can pray this prayer too, and it's called the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. Now, we're just going to do a very, very short version here. So if you have a rosary, we just pray it on the first decade, the first 10 beads. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was buried and dead and buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of life, the body of Christ. Amen. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. And you certainly can trust our Lord and our Lady, and that's why praying the Rosary is a beautiful thing to do. They call the Rosary the Bible on a string, because that's exactly what it is. It's not a prayer to our Lady, but it's a prayer through our Lady. And it's all about, in the Joyful Mysteries, the early part of Jesus' life, from the Annunciation right through finding Jesus in the temple. And the second, the Sorrowful Mysteries, and this is all about the agony, from the agony in the garden and to the crucifixion. The third is the Glorious Mysteries, and that's about the resurrection, and right through to Our Lady being crowned Queen of Heaven. Because, of course, she is the woman in Apocalypse with the 12 stars. And then the Luminous Mysteries, which St. Pope John Paul created, are all about Jesus' ministry, from being baptized by John the Baptist in the Jordan and right through the instigation of the Holy Eucharist just before Christ's Passion. So, wonderful prayers, and it's certainly, as I said, to Jesus through Mary. Our Lady is the signpost. We don't worship her, we honour her as the Mother of Heaven. And of course, it's very interesting, in Jewish times when our Lord lived, the Queen was not the King's wife. The Queen was the King's mother. So it is only appropriate that Our Lady, as Jesus' mother, if he is the King of Heaven, so Our Lady should be the Queen of Heaven, and that's how we look at it as Catholics. Now, getting back to the Crusade, it's been wonderful being part of the advertising group, organising, I should say, not advertising. We have one group right at Cape Ranga, and that will be absolutely fantastic. This lovely woman said she had always wanted to pray there, so she was one of the very, very first groups on our Rosary website map. We have people right throughout the north. We have a dozen groups at least already in Auckland. In the Waikato, we have got groups from Te Puna, Tauranga, Te Aroha, Rotorua, Raglan, New Plymouth, Palmerston North, Wellington. We need probably a few more in the South Island. So we've got one in Nelson. We've got many in Christchurch, Greymouth, several in Dunedin. So if you're listening and you want to pray for this country, and it coincides, because while the march is going on, we will be praying. So it's absolutely fantastic how it sort of worked together, because when the organisers first chose their date, they actually had completely forgotten that it was going to be the March for Life. And so, but somehow our Lord arranges these things, and so we are working together with people who are taking part in the March for Life, for example, Family Life International. So we are working with them. And I've been in touch with Bob McCosta. He knows what we're doing as well. So it's fantastic the way all of the Christian groups are working together. And even if you're not Christian, it doesn't matter. Come along, because this is not just an issue for Christians. This is an issue for all New Zealanders. Now, also, in the latest census, 2018, the results haven't been out yet, but it looks likely for the first time ever that the percentage of people who identify as Christians will fall below 50%. Now, this is incredibly sad if you realise the true history of Christianity in New Zealand. So for that alone, I suggest you go to our website and look at the frequently asked questions, because there is a question there: is New Zealand a Christian country? So the website again, www.rosarycrusade.co.nz, www.rosarycrusade.co.nz, and go to frequently asked questions and have a look what it says about Christianity at the time that our founding document, the Treaty of Waitangi, was signed. For example, in 1845, I think there were about, off the top of my head, 65,000 Maori language New Testaments. Now, when you consider that the population was estimated at the time for Māori between 70 and 110,000, that actually means that almost every person had their own Māori language New Testament. Absolutely phenomenal. And particularly when you consider that, you know, in the early 1800s, we're talking about an oral language, and then Māori went to the mission schools because they appreciated what they could gain by learning to read and write, and to then go to have their own Māori language Bibles, which they quoted verses at length, is pretty phenomenal. An incredible task, actually, equivalent to if I took my children now to China and expected them to learn the hieroglyphics of China and then to study at a Chinese university. I just don't think it could happen. So, a great feat. Okay, we come to the end of the program. So we're going to finish with that wonderful song from the Hollies, "He Ain't Heavy, He's My Brother." With a many a winding tongue that leads us to who knows where. Heavy, he's my brother.